done, and they're going all out. I mean, this is what their whole lives is about. Sometimes we look at the New Testament and we say, wow, that is way too much. No, 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 that's exactly what He meant for us to be. He wanted us to be bold in our lives. He wanted us our whole life to be about Him and Him alone. All the other things, Matthew chapter 6, the Bible shows us that He, as we focus on Him and we focus on Him alone, He'll add everything else. But we need to be focused on Him, right? Let me show you an instance. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, we find out that here's the story of Peter and John. And very briefly, I'll give you a little bit of background of the story. In the story of Peter and John, we find out that Peter and John, they're in big, big trouble. I mean, humongous trouble with the religious crowd. The religious crowd has already been telling Peter and John to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. But Peter and John are saying, no, 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 you don't understand. This is why we're here, right? And so once more, they go out and they start preaching about Jesus Christ again. They're going all over the place. And now Peter and John, they're summoned back again before the priests and before the religious crowd. And so they're at this point, they're at this moment. Look at what the Bible says about this. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you, Peter and John, that he should not teach in this name? And behold, Peter and John, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So here we find out in this story that there's Peter and John, there's the council right before them, and they're telling Peter and John, we already told you to stop talking about Jesus, but here you continue to go on. And you've gone all throughout Jerusalem, and you're telling people left and right about Jesus Christ, and we told you to stop, Peter and John. And I imagine at that moment, Peter and John, they looked at each other and went, high-fived each other. Said, yeah, we did. This is what we're doing. This is why we're here. This is why God has us here. I imagine they didn't do that. High-five hasn't been invented back then. I don't know when it was invented, but I imagine they were really excited. You know why? Because people were knowing about Jesus Christ. What they were doing, their labor, as chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians says, was not in vain. They were going out and people's lives were getting changed. The gospel was doing exactly what it does everywhere it goes. It was changing lives, right? Peter and John had boldness. They were bold about what they did. They were bold about who they were. They were bold about who they represented. That was Peter and John. And that should be us here today. Nothing's changed. The commandment's still there. The message, the gospel's still there, isn't it? What has changed? You want me to tell you what has changed? Me. That's what's changed. I don't believe in it the same way I used to. Yeah, I trust it for its salvation. And I say, thank you, God, for saving me. But God, my life, I just want to keep it the way I have it right here. But that's not what we see in the New Testament. We see that they trusted in God, they believed in God, and they said, well, not only are we going to trust in God for salvation, but our whole entire lives are going to be about Him and Him alone. People will know because we are representing Him. And that's exactly what we see. So, number one, how is our Christian life, how does it become exciting? What helps our Christian life to become the Christian life that God has meant for it to be is that you and I become bold witnesses everywhere we go. That's who He wants us to be. He's not saying be harsh. He's not saying be hard on people. He's saying go tell them that I love them. Go tell them that I care about them. Go tell them that the gospel is true. Go tell them that I died for them because they sinned. But those are the good news. I died for them, right? So I hope that you and I were doing that. I hope that every day that we wake up, we think, God, I'm here for a reason. God, I'm here for a purpose. I know why you have me here. God, I know that you want to use me. God, I'm going to go off to work. I'm going to go off to school. I'm going to go off to the gas station. Wherever I go, God, everywhere I go, God, you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to carry your tracks because it has your message on it. And I'm going to go and invite people so they can come to the church, so they can listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And as they come along, I know that whenever they go and they hear the gospel, that you will change their lives. Because your Word does not come back void. Right? So number one, how does our Christian life become exciting? How does our Christian life become the way it's supposed to be? How does our Christian life become the amazing Christian life? Number one is that we carry out the gospel. The greatest message that we have. There is no greater message. Not even if the president himself came up to you and said, I need you to deliver this message. That message is worth nothing compared to the message of our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. Right? Number one, the Christian life, the amazing Christian life, the way it becomes better is that you and I become bold witnesses about the gospel. Number two, go with me to the book of John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Here in the book of John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, we find the story of the blind man, but we're not going to go into the story very deeply. But in John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, we find a small place where Jesus shows us about his life and how he lived his life, right? In John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, we find out that Jesus, he came here with a purpose, that Jesus, he came here with urgency, that Jesus, he came here to be the light, right? That's why he came here. That was one of his purposes of why he came here. And that's what we find out about his life. Whenever you and I, we read the Gospels, whenever you and I, we read about Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, he wanted people to know the truth. With the woman at the well, he wanted her to know about the water of life. With the people that he fed with bread, he wanted them to know that he was the bread of life. You remember those stories? Right? Look at how he lived his life. But let me tell you this one more thing. As you and I, we're looking at Jesus' life, I want you to look at your life, and I want you to look at his life. And I want you to compare both of them. Because we are supposed to be like him. If we're not like him, something needs to change. Right? God is molding us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be like. Right? He lived his life here on this earth as an example for you and I to follow. So look at what the Bible says about his life. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Jesus says right here, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Verse number 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. So here's Jesus Christ, and he says, number one, let me tell you this. He says, this is my life. He says, my life is a must in my life to work the works of him that sent me. For Jesus Christ, when he came here to this earth, for him it was a must to do what he was sent here to do. He didn't come here and say, you know what? I know I have a reason, and I know I have a purpose, but I'm going to put it off for a little while. And I'll just come to it once in a while. Whenever I get a chance, you know, I'll try to work my life around it. And it might work out, might not work out. We'll see what happens. That's not what we see of Jesus Christ, do we? What we see of him is, this is my purpose. This is my mission. This is my life. This is why I am here. Right? I must work the works of him that sent me. Second part of this verse, look at what he says. So number one, it was a must for him to do what he was sent here to do. Number two, he says, well, it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He says, I have a mission, I have a task, I have a purpose, but with that purpose, I have limited time to accomplish the purpose. He knew the hour was coming, did he not? Everywhere we see about his stories, he's saying, the hour is coming, the hour is coming, the hour is coming. You remember that part in the Bible? And then he says, the hour is come, right? But everywhere he went, he had urgency about his mission, about his purpose, right? And you and I must be the same way, because time is just flying by, is it not? Let me tell you this, I noticed this in my life. I remember when I was a little kid and I was in high school, I haven't changed much in height, but I was in middle school. And when I was in middle school, I remember the teachers there, they would give me homework. And when they gave me homework, this was great. I said, great. That homework is so easy. I have so much time. Not a big deal. And so I would wait about an hour before I had to turn in the homework. I would fill it in really quickly and I would say, here it is, teacher. No problem. I have plenty of time. Now I remember I went to high school, and when I got to high school, the teacher said, well, Miguel, now you not only have homework, but you also have papers. And I said, okay, not too bad. I still have plenty of time. And so I remember I would wait about a week before, and then I would do my homework and I would do my papers and I would turn them in and I would say, no problem. Then I got to college, and I remember I had to work full-time and go to college full-time, and so that constricted my time. And I remember the teachers, they weren't very kind to me either. They knew my story, but they said, Miguel, not only do you not have homework, but now you have projects, you have papers, you have lab reports, you have all these different things that you have to do, Miguel. And so I would start to become stressed, and I said, wait a minute, time, you just don't have the same time that I had before, right? And so I would wait probably about a month before, and I would start working on them. And I wouldn't finish them sometime because time just flew by. And I remember I got married. And now I just don't remember what day it is. Time just, I mean, it's flown by. But I love it because I spend time with my wife. But time just flies by, doesn't it? I mean, do you wake up, do you do the same thing that I do? Sometimes my wife and I wake up and we say, oh, today's Thursday, no problem. But it's actually Monday. And we're lost in time. But that's exactly what he's saying here. He's saying, we have a mission. Do we not? Yes, we do. We have a mission, but we don't have that much time. Time is running by. And for us, you know, we get to this point where we get comfortable. At least I did several times in my life, and I'm ashamed of it. I got to the point where I said, you know what? That's okay if time runs by, because there's going to come a time where I'll be gone out of here. And when I'm gone out of here, right, when I'm not present in the body more, where am I going to be? Present with the Lord, right? That's what the Bible shows us. So praise God, great. But that's not what God is driving to here. He's saying time is flying by. There's people outside of these walls that don't know about me. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gets to his point. He says, I speak this to your shame. There's people that still don't know. Arise, awake to righteousness. They need to know. They need to know. They're dying and going to hell hour by hour, minute by minute. They need to know. You know who I am. You need to be urgent. Right? So verse number 5, we get to Jesus' life, and he says this. He says, as long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. That's what he says. He says, I have a mission, I have a task, I have a purpose. That's why I'm here, that's why I'm here on this earth. Then he says, this mission, this task, and this purpose, there's very limited time to the things that I need to do. I need to tell people the truth. I need to train 12 men so they will go on and turn this world upside down when they preach the gospel. I have a lot to do. And so every moment that I'm here, every step that I take, every place that I go, everywhere I am, I'm going to be the light of the world, right? That's the example that he left for you and I here on this earth. So let me ask you a question. Does our life line up to his? Because if it doesn't, it needs to be. This will help our amazing Christian life. It really will. Whenever you and I start living like Jesus lived his life, I mean, you're going to wake up every morning and say, God, I'm ready for what you have for me here today. Show me what you can do with my life. He wants to show you. He really does. Go with me to the book of John chapter 4 verse 34 with me, please. So number one, the Christian life, what helps our Christian life is that you and I become bold about the gospel. The gospel is a powerful message. Most powerful message. Number two, what helps us in our Christian life is that you and I become urgent about the work that we have here to do. We have tons and tons of work to do. We have tons of work to do. Number three, in John chapter 4, verse 34, we'll finish right here. Here's the story of the Samaritan woman. And I love this story. I really do love it because of what Jesus shows us right here. In John chapter 4, verse 34, we find the story of the Samaritan woman. And in this story, we find out that Jesus, he gets to Samaria and he goes to Sychar. He has a purpose why he's there. And while he's there, he tells disciples to go get some meat. And so disciples are going to go get some meat. And they didn't just go right around the corner. Those times you had to go far. Who knows how far they went. But they went to go get that meat. And while they were getting that meat, then we see the story of Jesus and this Samaritan woman, how it comes along. And we see that Jesus and this Samaritan woman, they start talking. And they start talking. Jesus asks her for some water. And then she says, who are you? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. There's no need for you and I to be talking right here. And he says, well, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for water, right? Then they go on, they keep talking, and then they start talking about religion, and she's saying, well, you worship over there, and we worship over here. And Jesus is saying, no, woman, you don't understand. It's not about where we worship. It's not about religion, right? He says, it's about me. You need to know who I am. Then she gets to this point, and she says, well, you know what? We've been waiting for this person to come and show us what we need to do and what we need to say and all these things. And he says, well, this is me right here. Right? Jesus was very excited because he knew the moment that she believed on him and who he was, that he was the Messiah. That's an exciting moment, right? And so we find out later in the story that she goes back and she tells the people in her town and she believes and they believe. And it's an amazing story. Well, then we find out that also in the midst of the story, the disciples are coming back with the meat and they're going up to Jesus and they're saying, Jesus, we got the meat that you told us to bring to you. And Jesus stands right there and says, no, I'm good. Thank you very much. And you can just imagine. You know how we are. At least I know how I am. And those disciples there, I would have been, Jesus, what? You told us to go all the way over there and bring the meat all the way back here. What is going on? Right? But Jesus says, no. I want to teach you a lesson. I want to show you something. This is very important. Look at what he says in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says to them, Jesus saith unto them, the Bible says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So here's Jesus Christ, and he's looking at them. They have the meat right here, the physical meat. And he's saying, that's not what my life is about. That's not what's going to bring contentment to my life, right? Look at what he says again one more time. Read it with me. He says, my meat, what fills me up, what makes me content, right? My meat, what satisfies me, he says, is to do what? The will of him that sent me and to finish his work, right? Jesus Christ is trying to show his disciples that his life is not about the meat, the physical meat. That his life is not about the things of this earth. He made that very clear when the devil tempted it, right? He tempted it with the kingdoms and the riches. And he says, no, that is never going to satisfy me. That bread that he was tempted with, that's not going to satisfy me. You know what does bring satisfaction? You know what fills me up? Spiritual meat. The will of my Father, which he just did. He just told the Samaritan woman that he was the Messiah. She believed, and then he knows what's going to happen. That those people over there in the village, the place that she's from, they're also going to believe. He has been fed spiritually. That's what he's trying to teach you and I. That you and I, in our Christian lives, we will never, ever, ever be satisfied, content, or filled up unless you and I are obtaining that spiritual meat. Unless you and I are doing the will of the Father. Unless you and I are here on this earth ready to accomplish and to finish the work that we have been sent here to do. Right? The Christian life will become amazing as you and I seek the spiritual meat that we need. As you and I go out and we tell people about him, as you and I go out and as they come in and they trust in Christ, and you and I, we grab the Bible and we say, I need to show you, to disciple you. I need to show you what the Bible says. As you and I start seeing God working in and through their lives and they're growing, and then as you and I start seeing all the things that God will do because you and I go out and we'll do exactly what we were commanded to do, right? Number three, the Christian life, what's going to help it be exciting and amazing the way it's supposed to be. So you and I seek the spiritual meat. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, he just wants to encourage. He just wants to tell them, we have a lot of work to do. There's no time to waste. There's no time to talk about all these different things. You need to trust in Christ. You need to believe that he resurrected. That you need to believe that he appeared unto people. There's evidence he did exist. He still exists today. He's still on his throne, right? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You need to believe that he is our Lord. and His commandment still stands, has not changed. You need to believe that. He says, we have much work to do. Our labor is not in vain, but we need to go out and abound the work of the Lord. We need to go out and do everything we can with our lives. This is why you and I are here today. Right? So how about we go out and live this amazing Christian life which God has for us to live here on this earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for your blessings, Father. Father, I pray tonight that we see the lives of the apostles. We see the lives of the people in the New Testament. And how they truly believed that people around the world, that they needed to hear about our Lord. That they needed to hear about the gospel. That they needed to know who Jesus is. That they needed to know about Him. Father, help us. Help us to awake. Because sometimes we get in this place where we get too comfortable. We're not supposed to be comfortable. This is not our home. This is not the place that we're supposed to be. We're just travelers. We're just nomads. We're here just for a moment. We're here just for a little bit.